have your Bibles. I encourage you to find Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Also in your bulletin, there are the list of scriptures that we'll be using today. We'll start in Ephesians chapter 6. A huge thank you to Dr. Blackwell and Heather, his wife, for being here today and teaching our adult life studies class. Dr. Blackwell, thank you for doing that. You did a great job. It's amazing how God fits things together. And so you'll see that, I think, in your lives and again this morning. So we have been working on a series that we've called Family Worth Fighting For. This morning, we get to talk about children. By a show of hands, how many of you were born? Some of you aren't sure. Let's try that again. By a show of hands, how many of you were born? Okay, all of us. Okay, good. Then this message applies to every single one of us, no matter what your age. And I want you to see that this morning. You are a child of your mother and father. Now, you may have circumstances that you don't like to discuss all that or think about it, but that does not change the fact that you are a child. So we spent 2 weeks talking to husbands. Husbands, notice what I did to help us out. I put children in the middle because I didn't want any of the wives who took the week off to think that they were getting out easy by missing today. So we'll pick up with wives next week, or maybe we'll see what happens. But we want to hit on children today, and every single one of us are children. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. These are simple words. You know them. You've heard them. You may have even taught them, but I want you to listen with me. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, God's word says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Okay? Simple. But man, have we gotten that messed up in our society. So let's dig into this. Again, this is for every single one of us. It applies to you, even if you are older and you have no parents alive. Okay? Hear me. It applies to every single one of us, biblically. So what's a child? A child, here in verse 1, is an offspring. So again, you already raised your hand. All of us are offspring. You were born of your mother. Your father was involved in that. The goal is, hopefully, that it was out of a marriage. That's God's design, but it may not have been. Even if it wasn't, it doesn't change the fact that you are an offspring. Notice what he says next. Children, obey. The word obey literally comes from two words. The first word meaning to hear. The second word meaning under. The idea is that you are submitting to authority. But when you dig into this word, the idea of submitting to authority or obeying means you're paying attention to. In other words, it's not just doing something blindly, even if that's what it takes in the beginning. True obedience comes from the heart because you're paying attention to the person who is in authority over you. You are submitting yourself. You're hearing them. You're also coming underneath them. That's what the word obedience means. Notice who you're supposed to be obedient to. You're supposed to be obedient to your parents, those who are your biological or your legal parents. That's what that word means. And so notice what it does not say. It does not say that you have to obey your neighbor down the street, even though you spend a lot of time there and she or he is a mother or father figure to you. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to obey them, but biblically, you don't have a responsibility to obey them. You have a biblical responsibility to obey your parents. You don't have a biblical responsibility here in these verses to obey anybody who's in authority over you, here in these verses. But if you have somebody in authority over you, there are other verses that we're not talking about today that tell us to be obedient to those who are in authority. This verse is specifically in relation to children and their parents. Notice what else he says in verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord. The idea here is that it's about him. Remember whose design this is. Who came up with the idea of a family? Man didn't come up with the idea of a family. God did, and he established it in the beginning with Adam and Eve. God's the one who created it. He's the one who designed it. He's the one who gives us boundaries. He's the one who loves us and cares about us. And he's the one who has given us a way to live out that design and what he calls the family. And being a child is a part of that idea. In the Lord, he says. Then he says at the end of verse 1, this is right. In other words, it's fully justified. But in our society, we have taken that and gone a whole different way with that. So I want you to think about that with me this morning, because we're all part of this design. However, understand here that the idea is, the understanding is, that these children are a part of a family where mother and father are come together as one in marriage, and they are also following the Lord. They're following God's design. They're following Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and they're living out God's design, living out God's word. Notice where it comes. We just finished 2 weeks talking about Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. We talked about the design of the family. We spent 2 weeks talking about husbands loving their wives. We'll get to the wives submitting next week, and we'll spend 2 weeks talking about that. Look what comes next. Chapter 6, verse 1, children. God's design is for children to be born out of the union between a man and a woman coming together as one in marriage. That's God's design. I know it doesn't happen all the time. I get that. But it's God's design. And in that design, those parents are supposed to be following the Lord. So do I have to obey my parents if they're not following the Lord? Look with me at Colossians 3, chapter 20. You're going to be shocked at this verse. It's going to blow you away. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You were blown away, weren't you? God's word is consistent, and he says it over and over and over and over again. Children, be obedient to your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You want to see it in the Old Testament? Go with me to Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verses 20 through 23. Listen to these great words. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, or my child, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So he says it in the Old Testament. He says it in the New Testament. He says it from beginning to end. His design is for you and I to follow his design, for children to be obedient to their parents. The general concept is that obedience yields discipline. That's why we got a problem in our country, because we don't have a lot of self-discipline. We have a lot of me and mine, and let me take care of myself and my stuff. God's design is different than that. I'm not saying you can't be satisfied and you can't be fulfilled. No, he doesn't say that. But he has a design that if we'll follow it, it works. But we have switched this concept. So this afternoon, if you go home and you decide you want to make the recipe for your grandmother's cake because it's awesome, and she's no longer around, but she left you the cake. And you may have made it 1,000 times with her. You may have even made it 100 times yourself. But if you're going to make that cake this afternoon, there are certain things, and maybe grandma did this, that you can add and subtract. And maybe she didn't measure off exactly what was going to be in there, but she stuck pretty much to the recipe. If this afternoon you're trying to make your grandmother's cake and you decide, because it sounds better to you, that you're going to switch the two ingredients, the amount of flour that you put in the cake, maybe it's 4 cups, and maybe it's 1 cup of sugar, and you decide, because you like sugar better, you're going to switch those two. So now you're going to put in 4 cups of sugar. Some of you already figured this out. And 1 cup of flour, because you like sugar more than flour. How's your cake going to turn out? Not very good. You will disappoint your grandmother today, because you switched major ingredients. Are there other things that you can maybe mess with a little bit? Yes. But if you switch those major ingredients, you're not going to end up with a cake. You may end up with something that tastes really sweet, but it's not going to be grandmother's cake like you remember it. Because those ingredients are important. There's a reason that there's 4 cups of flour and only 1 cup of sugar. And if you decide you're going to switch those around, like we like to switch things around in our society, and we're going to say that children should be the ones who tell their parents what to do, now we've got problems, just like that cake. It's not going to turn out the same way, but that's what we've done. So how does this apply to all of us? It applies here. Look at verse 2. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he repeats one of the Ten Commandments, number 5, and he says, honor. What does honor mean? Honor means to attribute high status to give due weight to that person. So how does that apply to you and I? Well, here's how it applies. If you live in your parents' house or are dependent on your parents for your daily needs, then you got to obey them biblically, no matter what age you are. You'd be 842. If you are still dependent on your parents, then biblically, you need to obey them. If they tell you to be home by 10 and you're 842, that's your fault, not theirs. You have a biblical responsibility to obey them. If you no longer live in your parents' house and you are taking care of your own needs, then you still have a biblical responsibility to honor them, even if they're not alive. He doesn't say here, when your parents die, then you can do what you want to. He doesn't say here that if your parents didn't live a godly life, then you should dishonor them. We still have a biblical responsibility to attribute high status, give honor to our father and mother. Look at what he says in verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Go with me back to Exodus chapter 20. I want you to see it when it was first said. Remember, the Ten Commandments were given by God to Moses, then he gives them to the people. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it's really the fifth commandment. It's the 12th verse in our record of this, Exodus 20, verse 12. Look at it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Does this mean that God, if I honor my father and my mother, that I'm going to live to be 852? No, it doesn't. What does it mean? The idea is that if you're going to follow your mother and your father, if you're going to obey them because you're dependent on them, or you're going to honor their teachings, their wisdom, their experience that they've passed on to you, that is going to protect you from harm and danger. When you were 5 years old and you wanted to go across the street to your neighbor's house to play, and your mother told you to look both ways before you cross the street, she did not do it because she hates you. She did not do it to keep you from getting across the street to go play with your neighbor. She did it to protect you. But even at 5 or 15 or 55 or 5,055, whatever your age is, if you get to the edge of the street and think, I'm bigger and stronger and faster than any car that could come down my street, I'm not going to look both ways. Good luck when the car hits you. The idea here is if you honor your father and mother and you do what they have given you to do and they're following the Lord, then it can keep you from harm and danger here in this life. They're not trying to harm you in some way. Even if your parents weren't perfect, they were trying to do their best to help you and to raise you. We saw a couple of weeks ago on Father's Day, we read Ephesians 6, verse 4. It says, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, we have a biblical responsibility. Dad, you're the primary one. You're biblically responsible before God to help raise your children to maturity physically and psychologically. That means spiritually as well. Because what really matters is getting our children to do what we want them to do, what matters? To get them just to blindly obey? Is that what matters? No, it's not what matters. We want to see their heart. We want to see their heart do the right thing when they're faced with a decision. That's why we discipline them. That's why we correct them. That's why we teach them. Just like God, does God want us to do things blindly just because he says in his word we should honor and obey our parents? No, he wants it to come from our heart. What did he say? What's the Shema? To love God with all of my being, love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. Then I can love my neighbor as myself. He wants our heart. Does Christ just want you to walk an aisle and make a decision and check the box and go back to doing what you're doing? No, he wants your heart. He wants your whole being. God wants us, just like we would love our children, for their heart to do the right thing. Not because we told them to do the right thing. That's what it may take in the beginning, as they're learning and as they're growing. But as they mature, we want to see their heart lead them to do the right thing. That's the idea here. That's part of God's design. Think about it. In Jewish life, boys became men at about age 13, and their parents would throw a bar mitzvah. How many of us were mature at 13? Girls in Jewish life at age 12, they would have a bat mitzvah their parents would throw for them, signifying that they had reached the teenage years or adulthood, more importantly. How many of us women at 12 were mature and ready for what the world was going to throw at us? Not many of us now. That's not something that we should take for granted. So what does God's word say? He says if you're a child, whether age or action, you are still dependent on your parents and you need to obey them. That's what God's word says. If you're not living in your parents' house, whether they're still alive or not, you have a biblical responsibility to honor them to their face, but also to those that have not even ever met them. Well, what if they didn't treat me well? You still have a biblical responsibility to honor them. What if they're not following the Lord? You still, if you know the Lord, you should biblically honor your father and your mother for the rest of your life. Because it's not about you, it's about what God does in and through you. Because remember, family is his design, it's not yours and my design. As parents, we have become slaves to our children in many ways in our society. We're letting the children tell the parents what to do. That's not God's design. We're saying we want them to be involved in all kinds of activities so they can be well-rounded, so they can get into the college that we want them to go to. But most of the time, we spend so much time doing that, we never even help them mature and grow into the godly men and women that God wants them to be. We spend so much time on the earthly stuff, we're not focused on the things of God. What matters more, that somebody can hit a ball a long way, or kick it a long way, or play an instrument really, really, really well, so they can do things, so they can have a skill and ability, or that they know the Father? That they live out their lives for the Lord wherever he directs them to go. If he directs them to the mission field, they're ready to go. If he directs them to stay home and raise a family according to the word of God, then they're ready to go. Now, when they go off to college, that they are able to go. Are they going to be perfect? No. But that's not an excuse for them to go do what they want to. It's an opportunity for them to grow and continue to mature and grow and show what they have learned in your house as your children to go out and live for the Lord. Keith and I are blessed with two boys. Justin's 26. He's married to Kaylee. He lives in Dallas. He has his own job. He pays his own bills. He is completely and financially independent of his parents. Thank you, Jesus. That's the idea. Now when he calls and asks a question, I don't tell him what to do. I give him suggestions. Because he is no longer in obedience to his father, because he is no longer subject to me, because he's gone out and done his own thing. Colin is 25 years old, born 12 months and 10 days apart. Colin, too, lives in Fort Worth. He's on his own. He has his own way of doing things. He takes care of his own bills, and praise God, Keith and I don't have to be financially or any other way responsible for him, because he's doing it himself. Where did that start? It started when they were little. One specific example, we were renting a house here in Simonton that was right on Bessie's Creek. And so they were probably, 5 years old. Justin, he did it first. We had told him, you can't go past a certain point in the yard and go down to the creek without mom and dad being there. Even if you're going to throw rocks or pecans or whatever you're going to throw into the creek, you can't go down past this point of the yard. You can't do that. So one day, what did Justin do? He decided to go down, go beyond that line. Mom and dad see it. Dad goes out and gets him, brings him back into the house, apply my hand to his backside and give him a spanking. Because that's what we chose to do. Guess what? He didn't ever go across that line again that we know about. Colin, you would think he would have learned from his brother. He didn't. About a year later, as he got older, he tried to do the same thing. Dad went out and established the line again. Son, we don't go across this line. Colin, don't go past that line. We don't want you going down there. Sure enough, in a few moments, he went down a different side of the house, thinking we weren't paying attention, and he went beyond that line. So Dad went and grabbed him, brought him inside, and applied my hand to his backside and gave him a spanking that hopefully they both would remember. We never had another issue that they went across that line in that way. Are my children perfect? No. Their father's not perfect. Their mother is, but their father's not. So as they got older, when they did something that violated our rules in our household, there were a consequence for that. Sometimes it was spanking. Sometimes it was timeout. Sometimes it may mean something else that they had to do. But we always established what the rules were, and then when there was a violation of those rules, there was no warning. Let's just deal with it, get it over with, cry if we have to, hug afterwards, tell each other that we love each other, and let's keep moving. We don't want to continue to deal with this, but I want them to learn the consequences of making a bad decision. Because the goal wasn't to get them to do what I want them to do. The goal was to get their hearts to belong to the Lord so He can mold and shape them the way He wants to guide them, so they can go live their lives according to His plan. Not my plan, according to His plan. So when each of them were 13 years old, I took them away one at a time, a year apart. We went away for a night, and spent it in a hotel, and we went out to eat together, and we spent some time having some fun together, just father and son, and we would spend some time in the hotel, and we would look at 1 Timothy 4:12, which says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity," those five things, "show yourself an example of those who believe." And so then we would talk about those five things, not me lecturing them, but me talking to them and making sure they understood what mom's and my expectations were in those five areas: speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. But I also made them a deal, both of them, one year apart. I said, if you'll continue to grow in each of these five areas, we'll know it. Mom and I will see it. You don't have to point it out to us. But as you do, when you become a senior in high school, hopefully I'll be able to toss you the keys because you want to go out with your friends, and I won't have to give you a curfew. Because you've proven yourself by that point that I can trust you, that mom can trust you to go do what is right, knowing that the next day you've got to get up and do whatever you need to do. Or take care of my vehicle, or mom's vehicle, whatever the case may be. And so they were able to do those things. Again, were they perfect? No. But then the goal was, when they go off to college, that they don't have reasons to take a nosedive, but they have reasons to continue to go up. Does that mean, does that a guarantee that they're going to go up? No. But how do I know that this system works? I know it because I see in the heart in my boys now how they're both serving the Lord, how they're involved with other people, they're doing things for other people, they're taking care of their responsibilities, and guess what? They're not living in my house, thank you, Jesus. Is that a tell-all in every situation? No. Children are different. You and I are different. Our paths are all different. But God's design works if we'll follow it. But that's the challenge. In some cases, we've flipped it around. We've exchanged flour for sugar in the recipe, and that doesn't work. It doesn't turn out the way we want it to. But God's design for family works. We have a biblical responsibility to honor our father and mother all our days. If you still are dependent on your parents, you have a biblical responsibility to obey them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your design of family. Forgive us in our own lives and in our country for not always following your design. Forgive us for making it about ourselves or about our kids, when it really should all be about you. So, Father, help us to follow your design for the family, not just today, but every day of our lives. And, Father, we pray for our kids. We pray for our kids that are still at home, that you'd get a hold of their hearts, that you would mold and shape them. We pray for our kids that are not at home, but still are not following you. I pray that you would get a hold of their hearts. Many of them have had the foundation laid, but they've chosen not to follow it. So, Father, we pray that you'd continue to put people in their lives that can minister Jesus to them until they turn their hearts completely to you. But, Father, help us to be consistent in following your design for family, including children. Father, help us to obey if that's required, but help all of us to honor our parents in the way that you've called us to. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.